World, I'm going to invite you all to stand. We have a Bible reading about to come up first.
First Bible reading. The first Bible reading for tonight is from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 23. This is how the birth of Jesus came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take home Mary as your wife, because what was conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to him, and you will give him the name Jesus, because he will save people from their sins." All of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to sit down. If you are a child or a young person, I'd like to invite you. And if you're feeling a little bit nervous, you can bring a friend or you can even bring mum and dad if you'd like. But I'd like you to invite you to come down to the front because Eloise is going to come and bring us our children's talk today. So come over this way near the Christmas tree. It's a little bit different to normal, I know. And listen to what Eloise has got to say.
Maybe it was a cool new bike or even a puppy. Did you get it and open it and see what was inside and think, wow, I was not at all expecting that, thanking whoever gave it to you? Well, way back in Bible times, the people knew that someone special would be coming soon and they were waiting for his arrival. But I wonder, what might they have been expecting? How might they have been expecting him to come? Maybe it would be on a royal chariot or on a white horse in shining armor. I also wonder, what could have been happening in heaven before this arrival? I mean, this was a really big deal. God sending his son into the world. What might they have been thinking? Let's take a look to see what some kids from a church in New Zealand thought might have been happening in heaven before this arrival. Let's have a look at the screen.
Kitchen of time to that very first Christmas. If we could I imagine the story began in heaven something like this. God was looking over heaven's balcony one day, shaking his head at all the wrong things people were doing down on Earth.
Oh man, this isn't quite what I had in mind when I created Earth. I feel so far away from my kids down there.
Why?
It's just hard to be friends with people when you don't like what they're doing. I think it's time.
Time for what, Lord?
Time for us to step in.
Shall we raise an army, Lord? Take them to listen?
No, I don't think we should send an army. Maybe just one person.
One person?
Brilliant! They won't be expecting that!
Lord, we're sending just one person. Let's be someone very powerful and very strong. Because there's tons of people down there.
No, they don't have to be strong. They'll be going as a newborn baby.
A newborn baby?
Brilliant! They won't be expecting that!
Lord, this plan is rather risky. A newborn human baby is small and weak. This baby must be born to people who will protect him. Maybe a great ruler or mighty king?
Actually, I was thinking I could send him to a young peasant girl whose heart is beautiful and full of courage.
A peasant girl?
Brilliant! They won't be expecting that! My lord, I see you're planning to take Earth by surprise. No one will be expecting a newborn baby born to a humble villager. But what good can a baby do?
This will not just be any baby. I'm sending in the Prince of Heaven in disguise.
The Prince of Heaven?
Our Prince? Your son?
Lord, this is too risky. Sending the Prince in disguise as a tiny baby, born not to kings, but to humble villagers. Surely our Prince cannot be born in a cottage. He must be born in a palace.
You're right. He shouldn't be born in a cottage.
Phew.
He'll be born in a stable.
A stable surrounded by animals
with hay
filled with hooves.
Brilliant! They won't be expecting that.
Lord, how will people know he's there? What if they don't notice?
Those who are looking will find him, and his mission will bring all people closer to me, even if they do something really wrong. When the prince is done, nothing will get between them and my love.
Can we leave some clues for the people looking? Like in the stars?
Clues in the stars? Sure, why not? We can make one huge one that points to them.
Can we sing for him?
Yes, can we sing?
Sing to welcome him.
Please say we can sing.
God looked at their hopeful faces, and his heart was touched by their love for the prince.
All right, you can sing.
Yay!
But not in front of the whole world. That would just be weird. And no kings or rulers.
How about we sing for some shepherds?
That's a lonely job.
Those blokes could do with some cheering up.
Brilliant. They won't be expecting that.
So God sure did make some unexpected decisions in that story, didn't he? Can anyone remember the four things that he said that would happen that would probably surprise some people? There was one about how he would come into the world. Yeah. Yeah, and who would be in the manger? Would it be someone big and strong? That's right. God would send his son into the world as a tiny baby. There was something else about who the baby would be born to. Can anyone remember? Yeah. He would be a newborn king, that's absolutely right. And he would be born to Mary, wouldn't he? A peasant girl, not anyone really big and strong, but just a humble little peasant girl. And what was the last one about who would the first people to hear the news would be? Would it be special or royal VIPs? Yeah.
Shepherds.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. The first people to hear the news would be shepherds who were blessed with the gifts of the angel singing to them. What an unexpected Christmas. But what good news that the Saviour of the world came down to this earth to save us. Cause for such incredible joy. Well, there's going to be this activity sheet at the back for you guys, and there's four spaces to write or draw the four unexpected things that we've talked about just now. And if you forget any, don't worry, because if you listen in to what Steve's about to say, you might be reminded of some of them. And for 0 to 4-year-olds, there is LifeWise in the front playground just down there, so you can send your kids down there. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Hello, church. For those who may not have met me, I'm Kathy. I'm one of the pastors here, and I come bearing gifts. This actually is a gift for us as a church, and it is from Shiva and Hussein, and we just want to say thank you. Thank you so much. So, what we're going to do after, I'm going to unwrap these, and we're going to have them on a table out in the foyer, and feel free to grab one of these delicious Persian pastries. Now I'm going to try and put this down without dropping it. Awesome. Oh, he's serious. I don't think we can trust him. What do you reckon? I do want to wish everyone a happy Christmas to all who are gathered here and also to those who are joining us online as well. We're so glad that you're here. What a year we've had, hey? It's been crazy. But how good is it to know that in the midst of every joy and every grief that this year has brought, that God is with us. He is present with us through everything that has happened. And so as we celebrate Jesus' birth over this weekend, my prayer is that you will know his love, his peace, and his joy. Especially, I think, as we do what I'm calling now the COVID dance. So there's this little thing that's going on. Have you noticed this in your world as well? Like, oh, hang on, they're a casual contact. No, they're a close contact. Oh my goodness, where do we go? Who's coming? And I don't know about your family plans this Christmas, but certainly ours, for Steve and I, they look radically different to how they looked a week ago as we're doing this COVID dance. And yet I'm also really aware that as challenging as it feels in Sydney right now, that there are many who are living in poverty in our world. And for them, COVID has made life desperately hard. And so this Christmas, our Christmas offering is going to go toward the COVID-19 Global Relief Appeal through Baptist World Aid. Baptist World Aid have partner organisations in Nepal, Bangladesh, Indonesia and India. And they're just working on the ground with those who are in desperate need, particularly supplying hygiene kits for those who just need that basic level so that they're safer from contracting the disease, PPE equipment for those who are at risk, and also food supplies, especially for those who are stuck in refugee camps. So if you would like to make a donation, if you're in a position where you're able to do that, then we encourage you to do so. You will have received, for those who are in the auditorium, you'll have found a little envelope on your seat. You're welcome to make a donation either with your credit card details or cash, and you can drop that in a plate in the foyer before grabbing a pastry. Or alternatively, if you're watching at home, you can access the Baptist World Aid website and make a donation through there as well. And I do want to say, gifts of $2 and over are tax deductible. And you know, sometimes we go, oh, I don't need a tax deduction. But Steve and I always reckon if you go for the tax deductibility piece, it actually allows you to give more if you're someone who pays tax. So take advantage of that if you're in that situation. All right, Lynn's going to come and pray for us. Thanks, Lynn.
As we come to pray, I think we acknowledge that we all come with different feelings this Christmas. Some of us are feeling excited about finally getting together with family. Some are excited about opening and receiving gifts. Some are feeling the loss of a loved one who won't be there this Christmas. Some of us are feeling sad or frustrated because we won't get to have our loved ones with us at the Christmas meal because of COVID restrictions. And some are fearful of what lies ahead. But we remember as we pray that we pray to a God who sees, who knows, and who has already stepped down into our world. And he knows the messiness of our world. He has experienced it. So let us come to him as we pray. I pray a blessing over you in the name of Jesus, our Saviour, our Emmanuel, God with us. May you know deep peace and courage as, like Mary, you take on the words of the angel, "The Lord is with you." May you know great joy like that was experienced by the shepherds, as you too realise a Saviour has been given for you. May your hearts be filled like the shepherds with praise and thanks for what God has done in Jesus, for the amazing love that was behind all that he did. May you hold on to the hope that our Saviour gives us to face each day and the future. Amen.
Please stand.
We three kings from Orientar, bearing gifts, we travel so far. Stop.
second Bible reading comes from John chapter 1, verses 14 to 18. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He comes after me. He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' From the fullness of his grace, we have received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made himself known." This is the word of God.
Please stand to sing another song.
The joys of masks. Well, hi everyone. Thanks for joining us here live, or for those who are joining us online for Christmas 2021. My name is Steve, and it is really good to have you here. And I do need to say welcome to those in Queenstown. Your mum and dad are with us tonight. I want to talk about the surprise of Christmas. Last week, as we were watching the carol service, which I absolutely loved, and if you haven't seen it, please do. As I was watching that, I really enjoyed Ants talking about the surprise he got for his 40th birthday. And I thought, well, sometimes surprises can go either way. Sometimes they work really well, and then sometimes they're just incredibly flat. And they can go either way for a couple of reasons. So one of them is actually the type of person that you are, the type of personality you are, right? So Ant is obviously a guy who loves a good surprise, so loved it. But then there are other people in this world for whom, like, to get a surprise is like, oh, no, don't do that. So my mum was one of them. My mum, whenever it came to a significant birthday, would say to my sister and I, don't you dare organise a surprise birthday party. Now, that's not a question, right? That's actually a warning. And we heeded the warning because my mum hated surprises. So, but it's not just the person, it's actually the type of surprise that it is. Because there are some surprises which are brilliant, right? Like a puppy is a great surprise, except if you don't want a dog. And then what do? Do you go, ah, no, take it back, right? So there's the type of the surprise itself. Now, many of you know maybe Kathy and I did our 30th wedding anniversary last month. And we made this agreement that instead of buying each other gifts, what we would do is we would spend a bit of money, nice place up in the mountains, go out for a lovely dinner. That would be our gift to each other. But in my heart, I really wanted to get her something. I knew what I wanted to get her, and I'd looked for it and researched it, found what I thought was the perfect gift. But I realized how nervous I was. So, like, when we were up in the mountains, I've got this surprise gift for her, and I'm just thinking, oh, please like it, please like it, please like it. Because sometimes surprises are well-received, and others they're like, uh-oh, that went a bit flat. You'll be pleased to know she loved it. It's a win, thank you. But what I want to say is surprises can go either way, and it's no different with the surprise of Christmas. The surprise of Christmas, can I firstly say, is not that God would come and save his people. That's actually what God's people were expecting. The prophets spoke of a day when God would visit his people in a new way, that he would be raising up a king from the line of David. So the prophet Isaiah speaks of a son to be born who would be named Emmanuel. Zechariah was another prophet. He spoke of the king who would ride into Jerusalem. When John the Baptist was born, his father, also a Zechariah, prophesied that this son, John the Baptist, would prepare the way for the great Savior that God was about to raise up. See, God's people had an expectation that God would come to save them. Now, Matthew, who writes the first of the Gospels in our New Testament, taps into this because he starts his Gospel, strangely for us, with a family tree. Now, for us, that's kind of like, oh, seriously, you're going to start a book with a genealogy. Boring. You know, let me tell you, come and talk to me afterwards. I'll tell you the 42 generations of my family. How long will you stay engaged in that conversation? But it mattered. It mattered to the Jewish people because their expectation was this king would come from the line of David. And so Matthew does that. He traces Jesus back to David. And then he gives him in the passage that was read two names. The name that we normally call him being Jesus, which means God is our Savior, God saves. And then Matthew quotes from this prophecy in Isaiah, when he says, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And what Matthew is saying, don't be surprised that God has come, because this is what has been prophesied. You know that God will come and save us, and now in Jesus Christ he has. What is surprising about Christmas, though, is the way God does this, the way that God fulfills this promise. It's surprising how ordinary, how humble, and how vulnerable the Savior was. He was not born at Christmas in a palace like a king, but in a place for animals. His birth was not proclaimed with trumpets and celebrated by the nation, but it was told to shepherds. He was sought out and worshipped not by his own people, but by foreigners. And when he was sought out by King Herod, it was to seek his death. He grew up not with prominence in the town of Jerusalem, but in a backwater town called Nazareth. And you know what they say about Nazareth? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Jesus was so different to what people expected. They expected a king like David who would slay God's enemies and free God's people from oppression. Or they didn't expect a man of peace who would say, love your enemies. Or they expected a man who would keep the law with great precision, not a man who would heal on the Sabbath. And so the surprise was for some a great disappointment. Even John the Baptist sends a message to Jesus. And I swear this is in Scripture. And he asks the question of Jesus, are you the one or should we expect another? It was not only surprising the way God did it, it was also surprising who becomes part of this Christmas story, this Jesus story. Like you've got Joseph and Mary, who are they? They're not really anybody. You've got shepherds, nobody likes them. Foreigners, nobody wants to have anything to do with them in that culture. Really? And then there were Jesus' followers later on as we track through the story. On the whole, Jesus' followers were a group of unknown, uneducated fishermen, patriots, traders, and women. Again, not a group of people that would be looked up to. And this is not the army that you expect God to assemble to save his people. Really, I mean, what can those people do? But the biggest surprise of Christmas was still to come. And that was how God was going to save his people. It wasn't going to be by raising an army and crushing the Romans. It wasn't going to be by bringing in a golden age of obedience to the Jewish law. At times, Jesus would say the most surprising thing to his followers. He would tell them that he would die as a ransom for many. He told them that he would be crucified and that by his death, many would be saved. And it's like when you read through the Gospels, each time Jesus speaks about his death, it's like, can't hear you. But there's one point where it gets too much for Peter, and Peter just steps in, and it's kind of like, enough of this rubbish, Lord. You are not going to die. It will not happen. And Jesus replies and puts Peter back in his place. You see, the understanding, the expectation was that God's Savior would be a conqueror. He would not be crucified. You see, the surprise of Christmas is that the pinnacle of Jesus' life is not found at his birth, as amazing as that was. The pinnacle of his life is at his death on the cross some 33 years later. Some years after writing his gospel, John would write a letter that says to the effect that God showed his love for you and for me in this way, that he would send his son into this world so that we might find life. That on the cross, that Jesus Christ would bring us into relationship with the Father by being the one who pays the price for our rebellion against God. You see, this is the surprise of Christmas. And this surprise shows us two things. Firstly, that God is willing to make himself known to us. God does not hide from us. You know, often we do, I certainly did. Picture God as distant, sitting on a cloud somewhere, an old, irrelevant dude who I want nothing to do with. But he is not removed from us, and he does not hide from us. God is willing to make himself known to us. This is the passage from John 1:14. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. Elsewhere, in one of his letters, John will describe the experience that they had of Jesus. And he says, that which was from the beginning, referring to Jesus, the eternal one, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. What John is saying is the one who was there from the beginning of time, the one who was there at creation, the one that the prophets spoke about would come and save God's people. We've seen him, we've heard him, and we've touched him. Do I know everything about God? I most certainly do not. Can I fully grasp who God is or describe him fully? I most certainly cannot. But in Jesus Christ, God has made himself known to us. And the second thing that it shows us is that God is willing not only to come to us, but to come for us. And he comes for us simply out of love. The verse that follows, the most famous verse in the New Testament, says, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." God has come in Jesus Christ to save us. He has come for us. In 2018, 12 boys, the youngest who was 11 and the oldest who was 16, together with their football coach, went into a cave system near Chiang Mai, northern Thailand. A heavy rain event resulted in them being trapped in the cave system, and the worst was feared when the rains continued and there was no sign of them after a week. On day 10 of searching for these boys and their coach, two British divers came across them, and amazingly, all of them were alive. The monsoon rains were still coming, and so the decision was made to try and get the boys out of the cave system. It was an incredibly dangerous operation. They were kilometres into a flooded river cave system. It was an operation that was highly risky, even for experienced divers. And in fact, one of the divers died during the rescue operation. There were 80 divers involved in the operation. It took them 3 days. But the boys and their coach were amazingly taken out of the cave safely. And they weren't just like taken out. They were carried out. They were pushed out. They were squeezed. In some of the places, it was 36 centimetres was the widest place. Squeezed through places. Underwater, fitted with masks. It was like a watery tomb. And two Australians who were part of the operation, Dr. Richard Harris and Dr. Craig Challen, were honoured with the Australian of the Year Award in 2019 because of it. You see, these boys and their coach were carried out of the cave system because they could not carry themselves. And this is our God. He comes for us because we could not save ourselves. Our sin that we carry is a burden that we could not carry. But Christ has carried our sin when he went to the cross. You see, what happened at Christmas, what we celebrate, was unexpected. But what happened at the cross was even more so. That the Son of God would die for us, would die in our place and carry the weight of our sin to the grave. And perhaps the biggest surprise is he didn't just do it for some people. He did it for us all. When God sent a Saviour, he did not send us a king with powers that would overwhelm us with a display of strength. But he became one of us. He lived among us and he died for us. And he doesn't demand from you your love, nor does he promise us power or riches or a pain-free life. We know that all too well at the moment, don't we? But he comes to us and he comes for us that we might find life, that we might find meaning in this life, by finding the one who gives us life. You see, that is the unexpected surprise that Christmas is. So, Father, we thank you that you do the unexpected, and that in Jesus Christ you did the unexpected in the way in which you came to us, and the way in which you brought salvation, not just to a race, not just to the good people, but you brought the opportunity of salvation to all. So we worship you this day and throughout this year. We worship you, Jesus Christ, as our King, as our Lord and our Saviour, the one in whom we find life. We pray this in your name. Amen.
Please stand and we'll worship together. To stay standing because we're going to have one final song, but I do want to say a really big thank you for joining us tonight. It's been so good to have you here. And as I've been looking around the room too, I've just noticed some old faces that, not old, no, not to say that you're old, some faces I haven't seen in a long while. And I just want to say it's really lovely to see you. And yeah, it's great that you're here. I really pray that somewhere over this Christmas that you are able to just touch base again before God, to be able to receive that truth again. God is with us and Jesus is for us. You know, I think sometimes we can hear that story and go, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. But when the reality of God's grace touches us, you know, it just brings us to our knees and it causes us to respond with hearts of gratitude all over again. And I pray that you'll find space somewhere that may have been just as we've worshipped now. And it may be that you find time as you go home or sometime into tomorrow. If you are joining us and you are yet to explore who Jesus is, perhaps you've been roped into coming or you responded to an invitation that you received. We just really love in our church just to be able to come alongside those who want to explore who Jesus is. No pressure in that. But we actually believe that exploring the truth of who Jesus is through God's word is one of the most important things you could ever do in life.
And so if you'd like to do that, we actually have a little resource table with Bibles and various resources around Christmas just as a starter. But if you'd like to do that with someone too, just contact us and we'll find the right person who can be alongside you to do that. So bless you. Don't forget to swing by that Baptist World Aid table. Don't forget to grab your Persian treat. I think that's all I need to say.
We're going to sing one more final song.
Thank you.